In the second verse of the 100th Psalm, David wrote, "Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing." I was reading that verse the other day, and I thought to myself, how few people do that. How few people, if they serve the Lord at all, serve Him with gladness. And how few people come before His presence with singing. Most people come before the Lord wanting something. And they don't sound like they're too happy. You know, the Psalms are a book of simple, poetical verse that stir the heart and the souls of the children of grace to rejoice in God's mercy and displays in their hearts the wonderful workings of God in the souls of regenerate men and women. This text is a delightful verse to spiritual minds. A soul that's been subdued by the Spirit and has been delivered from the bondage of self-dominion has a humble and teachable soul that rejoices in God and serves Him greatly. You know, most people are careless. And they're indifferent with regard to the heavenly King. People serve their country. And I certainly admire folks who served our country and people who are patriots. But I want to know where people are who rejoice to serve the King. People serve science. Researchers, as I speak to you this morning, across this country are doing research on this, that, or the other. They're trying to figure out why blind frogs are blind and why some tadpoles are white instead of green and this, that, and the other. They serve literature or art. I was reading about a man yesterday in the paper who had died, and he was a famous painter and an artist and so well known. And I read the article and I thought, that man's a fool. But they will not serve the Lord. But I tell you, the children of grace will serve God. And they'll do so with gladness. I'm an old man. And I get tired pretty easily. I don't feel the best in the world most of the time. But I tell you, every time that I come to this pulpit to stand and preach to you the Word of God, I rejoice. It's a happy time for me. It's a glad time for me. I want to bring you a message this morning, if the Lord will help me, that I have titled it The Believer's Confession, because unbelievers don't say this, but the child of grace does. Serve the Lord with gladness, come before His presence with singing. The three or four things I want to show you. First of all, the service of God has secret springs of gladness. A lot of people drive through here every day. And they don't know that under the ground, right out in front of this church, there's a cave down there. It's got places in it that are half as big as this auditorium. And back when I was skinnier, I used to be able to go down there and walk around. I don't know if I could now or not. It may have shrunk. But there are great springs that feed that water. We drank that water here for years and years and years till it finally got polluted from all the subdivisions down the stream. But God's goodness has a secret spring that produces gladness in God's people's hearts. You know, the children of grace are free from the bondage of the law. I was somewhere the other day, I don't know where I was, and somebody had a tombstone in the front yard of their house. And they had the Ten Commandments carved on both sides of it. Now, I don't make fun of the law because it's God's law. But I want to tell you something. If you're depending on the law to get you to heaven, you ain't got no hope. No hope. Believers serve the Lord with no idea of obtaining life through their service. Most people I know that serve God or claim to serve God, they're trying to make points with God, and they hope they get enough points to offset their bad. I'm telling you, that's not true. And any preachers who tells you that's a liar. It is through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ that men and women are delivered from the penalty of sin. It's got nothing to do with what you do or who you are. The heirs of heaven simply serve the Lord out of gratitude. I used to have an old black Labrador Retriever dog. And old Wren was the best dog I about have ever had. He was always friendly. His tail was in constant wagging. And he was, no matter what you did to him, I'd get mad at him sometime. I'd kick him. I've kicked him. I've hit him. I've jerked him around when he wouldn't do what I wanted him to do. He'd just look at me and his tail would still wag. He served his master with gladness. I think about old Wren every once in a while, and I think, I hope I serve God that way. You know, there's no joy in serving the law. There isn't. I was driving down the road one day, and one of the boys was in the back seat, and they said, Daddy, there's a state cop behind you. And I said, I don't care. I'm not going but 50 miles an hour. He can stay back there all he wants to. You don't have to worry about the law if you're not breaking the law. But there's no joy in serving the law. There's no joy in trying to keep the Ten Commandments. Because good works are never the way to salvation. They're not how you get to being saved. They're the fruit of salvation. They're the product of God working in you. And the miserable slaves of sin live in bondage, but they're never fit to die. I hear people say that all the time, so-and-so died. And I say, well, it was time for him to go. It was time for him to go, but it might not have been good for him to go. The believer rejoices to be accepted in the Lord Jesus Christ and not in the law. Believers have an acute sense of variance between service and slavery. You can serve without being a slave. There are people that work at jobs in this country that they're practically slaves. They are. It's just slavery. And there are other people that serve because they enjoy it. I had a girl at work for me one time. She came to talk to me, and she said, I don't understand what's going on. I said, what are you talking about? She said, well, some of the other girls down there said they don't act like they want to work. They don't do any more than they can help. They avoid everything they can. And I said, why do you do that? She said, because it's the right thing to do. I said, you're right. And if it's the right thing to do, then you ought to do it. And don't worry about what they think. She said, they make more than I do. I said, I can't do anything about that. But if you enjoy serving, then serve. And if you want to be a slave, then be a slave. I tell you, people serve the devil. And it's distressful. People are unhappy and miserable trying to serve Satan. But I tell you, serving Christ is happiness. It's joy to sing His praises. It's joy to declare His word. It's joy to tell somebody else about Him. It's joy to live with Him in your heart. Gaze into the eyes of the Son of God and you feel His love. I was thinking about somebody the other day. You all remember her. Remember Alice Devine? Toddy Devine's wife. He used to run a store down in Dixville. It was the lovingest woman I ever knew in my life. About that tall. About that big round. I'd see her. It just make my day. If I saw Alice, talk to her for a minute, it just make my day. She was so full of love. So full of the grace of God. And I'd get away from her. I thought, boy, Lord, make me like Alice. The believer serves God because he has the instincts of a new nature. I have neighbors, and they have dogs. And I get so tired hearing them dogs bark, I want to go over there and take me a baseball bat to them. Why them dogs bark all the time? It's their nature. And God creates beings in this world that have unique natures. Birds act like birds. You ever wonder why birds sing? It's their nature. You may not have wondered this, but I'll tell you I have. I wonder why they're always bombing my car. It's their nature. I think about fish. I asked Harold the other day, he'd been fishing. I said, Harold, catching fish? Said, might as well not gone. Why can't you catch fish? It's not their nature. They're not biting today. Most of you know me, know I love horses. I think American saddlebred horses are the most beautiful creature God ever made. I can sit on the side of the road and watch them run in a pasture for an hour at a time. Why do they do that? It's their nature. And God creates His people with a new spiritual nature. He changes our hearts. He changes our minds. He makes us see things differently, hear things differently, and think differently than we ever have before. Genuine Christians are full of God's love. And they don't trifle with spiritual things. The world is full of people trifling with spiritual things. I asked a man the other day, I said, do you go to church? He said, not anymore. He said, I used to. I said, why'd you quit going? He said, well, the church I went to said they changed everything. Said, I go hear the preacher and he'll preach out of the Bible. And so they don't sing out of songbook anymore. So they got words come up on the screen and they just sing the same words over and over and over again. And I said, come to my church. I promise you, we'll preach out of the Bible. And you can sing out of a songbook if you want to sing. We shouldn't trifle with God. I tell you, godly service gives pleasure to regenerate souls. Some of you may have noticed my construction project next door. I'm building a ramp so I can drive my golf cart up on the front porch. And as soon as y'all buy me one, I don't have one. But, you know, there's always a delight in the benevolence of God to sinners. We think about God blessing His people. You ever stop to think how much God blesses sinners? Wicked, ungodly sinners. Adolf Hitler ate every day, just like you do. Where do you think he got the food? God gave it to him. Attila the Hun was blessed with the kindness of God. Even on the days when he went and killed hundreds of people. The exercise of faith is one of the great pleasures that mortals can attain. God gives you faith. How blessed you are. I tell you, faith's not something you drum up. It's not something you dream up or you work up. It's something God gives you. And I tell you, if God's given you faith, you've been blessed. Sacred duties are congenial acts to our new nature. If you have a cat and you go home and it's barking, you will know that something has changed. And I tell you, if God's changed your nature, He'll make you sing a different song. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. You know, serving God causes a sense of honor. There are men that have gone and fought battles and are today fighting for this country, for our freedom, for our way of life. So why do they do that? They don't have a draft anymore. They do it because it's honorable. How wondrous that God allows His creatures to serve Him. Psalm 50, verse 12 says, "If I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine, the fullness thereof." God said, "If I was hungry, I would tell you. I would tell you. But if you're hungry, tell God. Tell God." Believers lay their humble service at His feet in honor and praise. You see, God puts flesh into a high place when He allows them to serve. In my 70 plus years on this earth, I have met some people that nobody knew. And they were a great inspiration to me. Because they love God. And they serve God. In the sweetest ways. Believers know that service is never the highest place they occupy. We're servants. The Master said, when you go to a wedding, don't go down and sit among the elite. Don't go down and sit at the front table. Stand in the back. If the Master wants you down at the front table, He'll call you. Say, "Come down here." And He'll also send you to the back. If you're down front, you don't belong there. To serve God in dignity is royal. But believers are not just servants. They're the children of grace. There are several things in my life that I'm thankful for. I'm sure you have too. I'm so thankful that God gave me such a wonderful wife. I'm thankful for the years we had together. And I'm thankful for all the blessings He's given me. He's blessed me with what I needed. Blessed me with what I needed to do. But the best thing God ever did to me was touch me with His Spirit. You see, the Spirit of God in a spiritual heart cries out, "Father," constantly. Constantly. There's a matchless union between Christ and the believer. You can't separate it. I've been pastoring since 1968. So 32, 42, 49 years. And I have been shocked on occasion when people have come to me and said, "We want to talk to you, Pastor." Okay. I thought they were having problems with their children or they were having problems with their work or something like that. They come sit down and say, "We don't love each other anymore. And we're going to get divorced." And sometimes I'm not surprised, and most of the time I'm shocked. Why? We just don't love each other anymore. It is possible for human beings to love another human being and lose their love. But I want to tell you something. If God loves you, He's always loved you. And He always will love you. And it doesn't depend on you or the world or anything else. I hear preachers say this all the time. And I understand what they're saying, but they're wrong. They say, now if you just do this, that, or the other, God will love you more. And if you do this, God's going to be upset at you and He's going to get angry at you. That's not true. God didn't love you because of who you are or what you did, and He's not going to love you anymore because of what you do or what you did. And He's not going to love you any less because of what you do or what you did. We glory in the coming King and His eternal inheritance. Here's the second thing. When saints serve God, their service flows in streams of many kinds. We should always serve the Lord with gladness in our public assemblies. I believe this is a happy church. I really do. I love coming here. If you all could put up with me and I could get sermons, yeah, we have service every day. It'd be all right with me. You're happy people. I can't tell you how many times, and I really mean this, through the years I've had men come here to preach and they've said to me, that's the happiest church I ever saw. They're such blessed people, such sweet spirits. And I smile and I say, I know they are. Some people despair of having smiling faces in their service. Not me. I hope God makes you all smile. People seem to be obliged to have as long a faith as possible. I love the story somebody told me many years ago about a little boy who went to visit his grandfather, and he asked his grandfather, he was out in the barn, he asked his grandfather, he said, Granddad, is that mule a Christian? And he said, no, son, he said. Are you sure he's not a Christian? No, he's not. I'm curious, why do you ask, is that mule a Christian? He said, well, Grandma's a Christian, and he's got a long face just like she does. Some people just seem to have one long face. But believers are God's children. And they're on their way home to their loving Father. I don't know how long I'm going to be here, and neither do you. But I'm going to be here till my Father takes me home. And every Sunday in this house of God ought to be filled with the joyful sounds of praise. When you sing, let the air be filled with the melodies of God's mercy. We'll lay aside our burdens and commune with heaven because it's such a sweet sound. I've not been well for the last few days. And I'm not too well today. And I got out of bed this morning and I thought, I don't know if I can go and preach or not. But I tell you, the closer it came to preaching time, the better I felt. And right now, I feel pretty good. I could preach for a couple of hours. I won't, but I could. We lay aside our burdens, and we fellowship with God. There's nothing in the house of God that ought to sadden true believers. We almost never have a conflict in this church about anything. And I want it to stay that way. There's no reason for coming to church and being saddened. Let us be grieved over the condition of souls without Christ. Let us be concerned about believers who are lacking in some area. But we need not live with downed heads and weeping eyes because our God is on the throne and He gives us happy hearts and joyful voices. Y'all keep telling me you can't sing, but I don't believe that. I love to hear you sing. We spread our needs before the Father, and it's always an act of love. Lord, here's what I need. Here's what I think I need. That's what you better say, what I think I need. Lord, love me. You know, the believer, Sunday ought to be the best day of the week. It ought to be the best day of the week. I don't care what else is going on. It's the best day of the week. To the believer, every place ought to be a location of worship and praise. You're sitting here in the house of God, worship God. Praise God. Tomorrow when you're out on the job, worship God. Praise God. The next day when you're sitting at home, troubles seem to be clouding the sky, worship and praise God. Ask the Lord to enable you to keep this instruction. Serve the Lord with gladness. Now, our work ought to be a happy thing as we serve God with gladness. Jimmy's always seemed like a happy fellow. May not be that happy when he's chasing cows around on his farm, but he seems to be a happy fellow. Susie says it's because he's got an air-conditioned tractor. That could be it. I don't know. We ought to serve the Lord with gladness. Real religion goes with us through every daily life. Some of you know I have been having some problems lately, and every day is not a good day. But every day is a glad day because the Lord's in it. When we serve the Lord of glory, let us be filled with holy gladness. Let gladness sparkle in our hearts in every act of service to the Lord. Make your Sundays happy by serving the Lord with gladness. Serve the Lord with gladness. Throw your soul into His message. I think you folks listen. If you don't, you've got me fooled. You pay attention. I've preached in churches where nobody was paying attention to a word that was being said. They're writing notes or reading a book or reading something or this, that, and the other. They're not paying attention to the message of God. Pay attention to God's message. May not be the best message you ever heard. May not be as liberal as you'd like it to be or as sweet as you'd like it to be. But God sent you a message. And every time I come here to preach, I'm preaching God's message. We must serve the Lord with eagerness and delight. I like children. Those of you who have grandchildren, your grandchildren ever help you? They're really not much help, but they like to help. I've seen women, their granddaughters, and their granddaughter's going to help them cook. They end up with flour and sugar and everything else all over the kitchen and stuff like that, and pans turned upside down. But they're happy. When God turns your pans upside down, be glad. Here's the third thing. We must also be aware that serving God's difficult. All these preachers stand up in the pulpit and tell you how easy it is to serve God. They're full of baloney. Most of them never worked at a job in their life. They've gone to school for 17, 18 years, and they've lived a life of luxury. And they'll stand up in front of some old boy that's been working out bib overalls all day in the summer's heat and soaking wet with sweat, baling hay all day and chasing cows all night. And they'll tell them, now you all need to get to church on Wednesday night. I don't care what's going on. I'll tell you what. We must learn it's difficult to serve God. Now the Lord bids us to be happy while we're serving Him. He didn't say it'd be easy. And the repetition of this word throughout the Psalms shows it's difficult. There's almost 50 references in the Psalms about serving the Lord with gladness. We ought to be delivered from the bondage of this corrupt flesh, because the power of Christ lets us glory in our infirmities. If I started a list of all the things that I think are wrong with me, we'd be here till 2:30 before I got close to the bottom. And I'd still miss a bunch of them. But it doesn't matter. Because the Lord is the solution to our problems. Life's trials add steepness to our journey, but they don't take away the joy. They're building a ramp over at my house, and they calculated how many inches it had to drop over the distance. And we don't want to make it too steep. Well, sometimes troubles add steepness to our journey. We were down in the Smoky Mountains one time, and we went up to, we were going to climb a big tower up there. Patty walked about as far from here to the bathroom back there, and she said, I'm going to sit down here on this bench. I'll wait till y'all come back. It's just too hard. We walked all the way up there, looked out over that countryside, and it's so beautiful. We walked back down the hill there, and she's still sitting there, and I said, are you okay? And she said, yeah. I said, you see anything good? I said, oh, so God's handiwork. She said, I'm glad you did. She said, I sit right here and look around and saw it everywhere around me. When you have trouble in your life, go to God. Go to God. And rest in the light of His love. The Lord, who gives you grace to serve Him, will also give you grace to sing. He says here, serve the Lord with gladness, and come before His presence with singing. I find myself singing. And I'm not always conscious there's anybody around. I was in a store one day, and some lady said, Mister, you sure got a nice voice. And I said, do what? She said, well, you were singing. And I said, I'm sorry, I didn't even know it. I'll tell you, when you can't touch the harp strings in this life, you can still serve the Lord. You know, when those Hebrew children in Daniel walked in the furnace, they told old Nebuchadnezzar, he said, if you bow down, I won't throw you in the furnace. They said, we don't care whether you do or not. If God don't want us to go in the furnace, we're not going in the furnace. And if we go in the furnace, we won't be hurt. And if we die in there, it's God's will. And we don't care what you do. We're not going to bow down to your idol. And he got mad, hustled them up, heated the furnace up hotter than it ever. It was so hot when they opened the door and threw them in that some of the men that threw them in died on the spot. And old Nebuchadnezzar looked to see them down in there. He looked and all of a sudden he said, what's wrong? Something wrong. Those three fellows are walking around down there like they're on a vacation. And there's another person with them. Who is that? It was the Lord of glory. And He'll go with you through your trials. I know some of you have problems with health and you have problems with other situations in your life. The Lord of glory will be with you. We can do all things through Christ that strengthens us. And then real quickly, not only is there difficulty in serving God, but there's excellence in serving God. Service removes many of the Father's chastisements from us. We must serve God with gladness while we have health and strength. There'll come a time when you won't have. I look across this audience this morning and I see empty places where people once sat, come down for many years, and God took them out, took them away. While we can serve God, let us do so while we can. You know, parents of obedient children give them more than they do to rebellious children. They just incite kindness because they obey. And when we get to heaven, we should have no regrets. We should have no thoughts of not being glad. If we serve our fellow man, we must first serve God with gladness. Our faces light up with godly love that dispels the wickedness of this world. I don't know about you, but I don't have any high hopes for this world. I have no confidence that our politicians or our moral leaders know what they're doing. But I do know this, that when my life on this world is over, I'm going to be with a God who I've served with gladness. Christian servants have oftentimes been the wedge in God's hands to turn things over. I was reading the other day about a fellow in England who led to the abandonment of slavery, and later on he had an influence on Abraham Lincoln and dissolving slavery in the United States. He didn't do it because he wanted pride. He didn't do it because he wanted to be written about in the history books. He did it because he loved God. I encourage you, let the world see that you serve a good master. Good master. You ever had a boss you didn't like? You almost pleasant looking bunch of Irish all my life. I'll tell you, I've had some bosses I didn't like. I didn't like them, didn't like their attitude, didn't like their tone, didn't like the way they treated the people. But I served them because that was my job. I serve my master because it's my gift. One day we'll stand beside the worldlings who complain and bicker and murmur, and we'll sing there with joyous songs of praise. I heard a story about fellows were building a big cathedral, and a man came by and he asked one of them, said, "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm building a building." He asked another fellow, said, "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm laying bricks." And he saw this fellow with a big smile on his face. He said, "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm building the house of God." It's your attitude. If you want gladness, you'll find it in your Father. That's where it is. False professors will do anything rather than serve God. You need to serve God. There's gladness there. Serve Him with gladness, unlike the prodigal's brother. You know, the prodigal's brother said, "What's going on? You having a dance and a hoodoo around here and offered a calf? I've been here and been faithful to you all my life, Father, and you ain't never offered me a calf or had a party for my friends." Serve the Lord with gladness. Don't sleep away your mortal life. Serve the Lord with gladness. Be diligent in His cause with gladness and sing. Be glad that you're called to be God's means of salvation to others. He'll use you. Tell somebody else about His Son. I encourage you to go forward in serving God as long as you're on this earth until He calls you home. I have a problem with old people. No, I'm serious. I do. All my life that I've been preaching, I've heard old people quit coming to church. And they quit doing anything for God. And they'd say, I'm too old. Let the younger ones do it. Let me tell you something. I don't care how old you are, how young you are. Serve the Lord with gladness and come before His presence with singing. Remember the old man that used to come here, 93 years old? He had the sweetest spirit about him. Well, he got cancer, and then he got kidney problems, and they put him on dialysis. He could take the chemo, but he couldn't take the dialysis. And he told me one day, he said, Pastor, he said, I'm not going to do this anymore. He said, I've lived a long time. God wants to take me home and take me home. But he said, I'm going happy. I want us to all leave here this morning committed to serve God with gladness and singing. I don't mean you have to quit your job and become a preacher or a deacon or anything else. Go down there and run them cattle with gladness in your heart. Go to work tomorrow and saw boards, singing the Lord's praises. Make biscuits in the morning with joy in your soul. Serving God's not always easy, but it ought to always be joyous. I pray God will open doors of service for all of you. And He'll bless you with mercy. The saints of God serve God in many ways. Let it always be with gladness and singing. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence.